welcome to our program. Today we continue in our series. Actually, we'll start in chapter 1 of the book of Ephesians. Have your Bible ready. Reading in Ephesians chapter 1, it says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace be to you, and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance unto the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. What a tremendous portion of scripture. Now we're going to go through and have a look at this. We could be 10 years in this one chapter. We won't be. We're going to just kind of skim through it and pick some promises and some blessings here that we have. Before we start verse by verse on that, make this your prayer. Open my eyes that I may see glimpses of truth thou hast for me.
Open my eyes that I may see glimpses of truth thou hast for me. place in my hands the wonderful key that shall unclasp and set me free. Silently now I wait for thee. Ready, my God, thy will to see. Open my eyes, illumine me. Spirit divine. Open my mouth and let me bear gladly the warm truth everywhere. Open my heart and let me prepare love with thy children thus to share. Silently now I wait for thee. Ready, my God, thy will to see. Open my heart, illumine me. Spirit divine.
Ephesians chapter 1, verse number 1, we read, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Paul, an apostle. By the time you get to Ephesians chapter 3, verse 1, he refers to himself as Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ. In this age of apostasy that we're living in today, when truth has become the new hate law, we might find ourselves in as prisoners of Jesus Christ as well, if we're going to stand up for the truth. We're living in perilous times. Well, he's Paul the apostle, and he's Paul the prisoner by the will of God. When Paul wrote Ephesians, he had already spent 5 years as a prisoner. Well, unless Paul was totally sold out to the Lord, and he was, it certainly wouldn't be his will to be sitting in a prison for 5 years, but he is willing to do whatever God wants him to do. What we need to do is, as it says in Proverbs chapter 3, verse number 5 and 6, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. And verse 7 says, be not wise in thine own eyes. Now, he said in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 1, for this cause, I, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, and he goes on, and we'll talk about that when we get to chapter 3, but why is he in prison? Well, he's in prison, one reason is because he needs time to write the book of Romans, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, Philemon, Galatians, Philippians, 1st, 2nd Thessalonians, Ephesians, Colossians, 1st and 2nd Timothy, and Titus. He needed time to do those. If he had been traveling all the time, he wouldn't have had time to write 2/3 of the New Testament. Not only that, we read about his testimony, and we read in Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 22, all the saints salute you, and he went on to say, chiefly they, that are of the household of Caesar. Now, that word chiefly has been translated in Acts chapter 20 and verse 38 as most of all, and they're the same words. So Paul's saying all these saints want to greet you, especially those of Caesar's household. Well, how'd they get saved? Well, they were chained to Paul every night, and he had a captive audience there. He would tell them about the Lord, and they'd get saved. You know what we need to do, and let me read it again. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Let him direct your path. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Well, Ephesians 1 and 1 again, it says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God to the saints which are in Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Now, the Bible says, and Paul said it in Ephesians 5:17, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Paul the Apostle, he's an apostle, he's a prisoner, by the will of God. By the will of God. Do you understand God's will for your life? Do you even want to understand God's will for your life? If you're smart, you will. You will want to understand his will. First of all, that you'll get saved, and second of all, you'll live the way he wants you to live. He says, I'm an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. This wasn't a career move for him. It was one of the silliest moves he ever made. He was highly respected, a Pharisee of the Pharisees. Not anymore. Now he's been the last 5 years in jail, and he's been beaten and shipwrecked and whipped and you name it. Paul an apostle, Paul a prisoner, by the will of God. And he's writing, verse 1, to the saints which are at Ephesus and to the faithful. Now, it's one thing to understand the will of God, but in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 6, he talks about doing the will of God from the heart. Now, the will of God. Romans 1:10 says, making request, if by any means thou at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. And then in Colossians 4:12, but that ye may stand perfect and complete in the will of God. And then in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God. And then in Hebrews 10 and 36, for ye have need of patience, and that after ye have done the will of God. Yes, you do. If you're going to do the need of God, you'll need to have patience, because you'll have to go back and quote those verses. Lord, I'm not leaning unto my own understanding. I'm acknowledging you. You're directing my paths, and so I'll have to take this for some reason that you're bringing it into my life. Like Paul, who won many, many people because he was in prison, and as I said, wrote about 2/3 of the New Testament. Now, in Ephesians 1 and 1, it says here, and I'll read it again, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. So we have the saints, and we have the faithful. Now, not all saints are faithful. I'll give you some verses here, Matthew 24:45. Who then is a faithful and wise servant? That question is asked. We'll look at it in a minute. 1 Corinthians 4:2. It is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. 1 Corinthians 4:17. I send unto you Timotheus, which is my beloved son, and faithful in the Lord. Colossians 1:7, Epaphras, a faithful minister of Christ. Tychicus, a faithful minister, Colossians 4:7. Colossians 4:9, Onesimus, a faithful and beloved brother. 1 Timothy 1:2, our Lord counted me faithful, Paul said. 2 Timothy 2:2, the things which thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Hebrews 3:5, Moses was very faithful. 1 Peter 5:2, Silvanus, a faithful brother. Revelation 2:10, be thou faithful unto death. Revelation 2:13, Antipas was my faithful martyr who was slain among you. A lot of situations here about people in the Bible who were faithful. And then we have Demas. Paul said in 2 Timothy 4:10, Demas has forsaken me having loved this present world. Proverbs 25:19 says, confidence in an unfaithful man in the time of trouble is like a broken tooth and a foot out of joint. Well, that was Demas for Paul. Well, we asked the question here a little while ago, Matthew 24:45, who then is a faithful and wise servant? In verse number 32, Matthew 24, it says, Jesus said this, now learn a parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, ye know that summer is nigh. So likewise ye, when ye shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the door. And verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Now we know Matthew chapter 24 is talking about the end of this dispensation of the local church age. And Jesus said here, so likewise ye, when ye see all these things, and he's been mentioning them here for the last 30 verses, when you see all these things, know it is near, even at the door. What is near? Well, he said in verse 44, the Son of Man cometh. Now, it was in this context that we read in verse 45, who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household to give them meat in his due season. Now, he talks about this servant being an unfaithful servant, and he's not looking for the Lord to come. And we read in verse number 51, he shall be cut him asunder and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So obviously, when he is talking about it here, and this unfaithful servant in this illustration he's using about the fig tree and the servant, he is talking about when he's coming back again and who is saved and who is not saved. And so as we look in verse number 1 of Ephesians chapter 1, and it says that he writes to the saints at Corinth and the faithful, the application can be here that there are those in the church that are faithful and those that are not. However, in Matthew 24, you see the situation is totally different. Ephesians 1 and 2, it says, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be to you. Grace, that word grace appears 12 times in the book of Ephesians. We'll look at it as we go through. And peace, that word occurs 7 times in the book of Ephesians. What is peace? Some years ago, I read a story of an artist who was commissioned to paint a picture that would be entitled Peace. One artist, he did a beautiful painting of a beautiful farm way out in the country, beautiful rolling hills. It was kind of a sunset time of the day and a few birds fluttering in the sky. A very peaceful picture. Another artist, he did a picture, and he had a raging river. It was moving very violently, and then finally it came to a waterfalls, and it was a violent waterfalls, just like the river. You could almost feel the rumble in the picture. This is peace. Well, just above the waterfalls, he had a tree branch hanging out over the falls, and there was a nest and a mother bird sitting on her nest, just as peaceful as you can imagine. Now, there's the picture of what the Bible is talking about when it talks about peace. When the storms come along, when the battles come, there can be peace that passes understanding.
A wonderful Savior is Jesus my Lord. A wonderful Savior to me. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock, where rivers of pleasure I see. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock, that shadows a dry, thirsty land. He hideth my life in the depths of his love, covers me there with his hand, and covers me there with his hand. wonderful Savior is Jesus my Lord. He taketh my burden away. He holdeth me up, and I shall not be moved. He giveth me strength as my day. With numberless blessings, each moment he crowns, and filled with his fullness divine, I sing in my rapture, O glory to God, for such a Redeemer as mine. Transported I rise to meet him in clouds of the sky. His perfect salvation, his wonderful love, I'll shout with the millions on high. He hideth my soul shadows a dry, thirsty land. He hideth my life in the depths of his love, and covers me there with his hand, and covers me there with his hand.